Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a great day and a great week. Our encouraging word for the day comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. That is such a beautiful thing to think about. Godliness, someone who walks with the Lord. They behave in a godly way. They honor God, they honor the Son, and they honor that which the Holy Spirit has given to them. If we are godly and we are content, then that is a great gain to us. It keeps us from looking around and chasing after other things. I am doing just fine right where I am, and I am enjoying the many blessings that God has given to me. That's just a great place for us to be mentally. And he goes on to add to that and to strengthen it. He says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That there's a great trap that is set for those who pursue riches, gain, and wealth. And in this context, verses 3 through 5, Paul is warning Timothy. That's why these statements are coming out now. He's been warning Timothy about false teachers who are proud and they're obsessed with disputes. They'll argue endlessly about foolish things. And Paul says, from such, withdraw yourself. When you spot these men who are proud and obsessed with just simply arguing, that you withdraw yourself. Don't take part in that. In verse 5, Paul says that these wicked men suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So his point is that these wicked men, these worldly men, they even dare to trade upon their master's commandments, and they even dare to make filthy lucre from his holy doctrine. And that's why they're all wrapped up around the axle, arguing about every little thing and trying to prove themselves to be right over matters and issues they know nothing about. And so you get to verse 6. And just say godliness with contentment, not to pursue what we believe to be a means of gain, but to be content with where we are. The Christian knows that they brought nothing into this world, and so the Christian inherently knows that they're going to take nothing out. The temporal cannot move into the eternal. It just can't happen. It reminds me of a story I heard a long time ago about a rich man, a very rich man. He insisted that he be buried with all of his money, and he made his wife promise that she would do just that. You bury me with all of my money. He told her this over and over, oftentimes in front of other family members. And so after he was buried, some time had passed. The kids finally came up to her and said, "Did you really bury him with all of his money?" And she calmly said to all of them, "Yes, I did. I wrote him a check." I like that. You can't take your money with you. Putting it in a coffin is not going to do anybody any good. You can have a check, and if you cash that, then you can withdraw the money, I guess. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It is a scriptural, doctrinal, biblical fact. We've got to come to terms with that because it really is something that we want to pursue. There's reasons to have more or to get more, and we try to justify those things, but it's not godly and it's not healthy, and it's not what God wants from us. And as I was thinking about this desire to be rich, the temptation that we have, I believe the temptation that you and I have as we look to someone who is wildly famous and rich, and we say, well, that's who the Bible's talking about. That person is so rich, they don't know what to do with all their money. They own properties, they own thousands of acres, they've got multi-million dollar homes, and we say those are the rich people that the Bible's talking about. And I would warn us about that. I think it's not wise to look at the filthy rich in the United States and to say, well, that's who the Bible's talking about, because the reality is that you're rich and I'm rich. I found on Zipia.com a research article on the median annual income of each home across the world. The average global personal income is $9,733 per year. Across the entire world, the average global personal income is $9,733 a year. So compare that to what you make and see where you are as it pertains to the average of just under $10,000 a year. The average global household income is $12,235. So, you know, add your husband or your wife's income, everyone who makes money in the home. The average global household income is $12,235 a year. The median per capita household income is only $2,920 per year. In the article, they say that if you make over $100,000 in 1 year, so just think about yourself, if you cross that $100,000 mark, you and your spouse, then that puts you in the top 10% of global earners. That tells us that 90% of the world looks at us and says, oh, you're rich. You are rich. 90% of the world thinks that you're rich if you earn collectively over $100,000 a year. If you make over $1 million, that puts you in the top 1%. So any of you who are listening who make $1 million a year, that puts you in the top 1%. Interestingly, too, because they had all the different countries there, I thought the United States was the richest. It says that Monaco has the highest average income of $186,000 per year. The United States ranks seventh overall, with the average annual income being $71,000 per year. So the average annual income in the United States is $71,000 per year. Burundi, a small country in Eastern Africa, consistently ranks as having the lowest income in the world, with an average annual income of only $220 per year. Average annual income, $220 per year. We are rich, and we need to come to terms with that. It's not a sin to be wealthy, by the way. There were many characters in the Bible, even those who are written in the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, that were overwhelmed with goods, wealth, gold. Abraham, we're told in the Bible he was overloaded with gold. Joseph was the grand vizier of Egypt. He was the second most powerful man in all the world and one of the most godly men in all the Bible. David had gathered up so much riches and wealth during his reign as king over Israel. And certainly Solomon, his son, gained even greater wealth as the king of Israel. There is a commandment given to the rich. So to all of us, you know, let's just put ourselves in the proper category. To those who are rich, well, that's us. We fit in that when you look across the global scale. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, this is a commandment to those who are rich. Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And there's the commandment. If you're rich, he doesn't say you're going to hell. Those who are rich, do not be haughty, and don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't bet everything on that which you've attained. But trust in the living God, because he's the one who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Those who are rich are to do good, so that they would be rich, found rich in good works, that they are ready to give when the opportunity comes. They're willing to share. And in verse 19, he says, because in doing that, they are literally storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. No condemnation for being rich, but a commandment. Don't be haughty in that. Don't be lifted up above your brethren, above others, that you're better than they are, because you are not. God has given to you richly. He has seen fit to give you more and to give me more than he's given to probably 90% of the world. And so we have to have this heart of contentment with godliness, and we've got to be looking around and looking for opportunities to help those who are in need, especially those who are the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. The truth of it is we're only here for a short time. God has seen fit to give us wonderful gifts, physical gifts, and we are stewards of all that we have. He gives it and he can take it away. We are stewards. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain.